Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. You know, one of the things I love about leadership is the places we get ideas. I mean, really, there's leadership examples all over the place. So I sent you an Instagram video. I'm like, oh man, look at this coach working with one of their players. It was kind of a mic'd up moment on the side. I sent it to you. Your response was, that's a Craig and Greg Show episode.
It was
a coach not yelling at a player, but you could tell she had done something on the court. I don't even know if we know what sport it was necessarily. It could have been basketball, volleyball. Yeah, I couldn't really tell, but she just came over and sat down on the bench next to the coach, and he just kind of half turned and looked at her, and he says, do you know what happened there? And she said, yeah, this and this. And he goes, yeah, so what do you think you should do? I think I should do like this. And he goes, yep, okay, good. And that was it. There was no yelling. There was no berating. It was just this conversation. Let me just check in. And you had a great phrase for that. You said, coaching up.
See, and to me, whether it's sports, which is, they're good analogies. Mm-hmm. I know everybody doesn't play sports, but not everybody drives a fast car or, right, you know, loves to drive ride a horse or whatever, garden. I think sports do something for us because they shorten the business cycle to a game.
Yeah.
A week. A contest, other than, you know, every 4 years Olympics. But I think the coach them up, I learned that when I was coaching high school football. So many things happening on the field, right? It's a Friday night. Parents are there. Maybe the girlfriend's watching, whatever, you know, and the kid's just busy. And he makes a few mistakes. The first high school experience coaching with another guy, I had that coach, the yeller. And after like a couple instances, it might have been two games, but I'm like, hey, coach, our players aren't deaf. I won't exactly tell everybody what he said to me on the headset, but he changed because he thought loud got correction. Mm-hmm. Loud got the change. Mm-hmm. And then we found out with some players is they just decided not to try too hard because they didn't want to get yelled at.
Right.
So they left a lot of good plays back on the field because if they made a mistake, he would yell. So after the first two games, he really lightened up. And the players knew to go to their position coach, which is what I really liked, not the head coach, but the position coach and say, all right, so that didn't go too good. No, buddy, it didn't, but what did you see? You know, and that's what that reminded me of, because we would kind of take a player who maybe made a big mistake,
yep,
in that moment,
yep,
right? I'll never say that a kid lost a game, but in that moment, that was a big mistake. But that's the teaching point,
yep.
You know, and you do it cerebrally. He didn't try to do it. I think that's what we have to remember.
Well, and I like what you just said there. I think, you know, one of the differences is, and it probably is more of a coaching down, when it's just your finger is out, mm-hmm, and you're saying, you did this, you did this. I like the way that you said it, and we even saw that in the video. What did you see? What do you think happened there? How would you process that differently? And that's a good place where you can coach them up from that point, because you're getting their perspective, and then you're saying, oh, but did you see?
Right.
Did you notice? And then you can help have them, they kind of almost come to the answers themselves. As a coach, you're guiding them to that right spot. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, whether it's in sports or whether it's in business or a church or a nonprofit or whatever, that always is going to work better. Instead of just having your finger out saying you lost the game, you lost the client, you, mm-hmm, you know,
yep,
that's not going to help anybody get coached up. It's going to make them, if anything, they're going to shrivel up anymore.
Right. I think part of it for the coach in the sports story or leaders in the office, it's somewhat self-restraint.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you'll see a coach on the sidelines, player makes a mistake, whether it's basketball, volleyball, football, baseball, it doesn't matter. But they're on the sidelines, and you can just see them, you know. Remember Jerry Tarkanian, the university?
Chewing on his towel.
Chewing on a towel while his player.
Yeah, yeah.
And just chewing on it. Well, maybe that was his excitement, and he just didn't want to yell at him. I don't know. But I think instruction in the game. So there's certain coaches that I kind of like, you know, they coach during the week.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So come game time, all you're doing is fine revisions. Just tweak that.
Yep.
Take a step to the outside. See if we can get the batter to do this. I wonder if we fake a bunt, what happens to the infield, whatever sport we're talking about. And I do think with business, you know, we can also use this analogy for coaching is they're not deaf. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. They actually want to go back out in the field and play again.
Right.
And that's how we have to treat our teammates as we lead, even if it's kind of a potentially a bad situation. You just don't air out the laundry or you lose the person's heart.
Yes.
That's what I found.
The great John Wooden, what he won 10 championships in a row at one time, you know, I like his statement was when it comes to game time, the coach's job is almost done. Because it's all of the other things.
Right.
And a couple of episodes we've talked before about, leading in meetings. I think that that's a really good coaching time. Not where in the heat of the competition, but we've kind of stepped aside. And one of our other episodes, we talked about mulligans. We talked about giving somebody a second chance. We talked about saying, okay, you didn't handle that quite right. What did you see?
Yeah.
What can we do differently? Not up. I'm done with. Just sit down. I don't even want to see you anymore. You're over here. I don't. You know. Yeah. That's not gonna. But when you say, okay, what did you see? I want to give you a second chance. Now that you've learned that, did you notice this part? All right, get back in there.
Some positions are harder to play in sports. Some positions are harder to lead in business or in industry. There were some coaches that I won't say their names because maybe y'all like them, but it was a little bit of difficulty for me to watch when a player would come off the field and he would get his ear chewed. Mm. I said ear, not rear, ear chewed. And then you could see him deflate and you knew he wasn't coming back on the field.
Yeah.
And the coach then grabbed the replacement guy and sent him out. And maybe that guy never got back out that game.
Yeah.
What did they learn? You can't make a mistake is what they learned.
Yep.
And I think for us in leadership, mistakes will be potentially learning points, but mistakes could also be costly. We have to go about, did the person plan on it?
Right.
Did they really try to do this?
Right.
You know, like, you know, one of your kids gets in a car accident. One of my kids, you're like, what were you thinking? It was an accident. He wasn't planning on it. He didn't ride off the road to hit this maple tree. He was avoiding a dog or, oh, that makes sense, you know. So I think for us in leadership, when we're working with people, one is tone and one is timing.
Yes.
Right. I've learned that in business and in sports. You know, if the person's not open to learn, it's probably not worth the words yet.
Well, this is, and I know we've shared this story before, but I love this one, so I want you to share it again. Because this was a great coach 'em up moment that I wasn't even there, but I learned from it.
Oh, boy.
Your first time stepping onto the football field in college, and it could have been where the coach would have chewed your ear and said, sit down on the bench, you're never going back in there again, but he had a coach 'em up moment. Tell that story again.
Well, I was a freshman. I've never sat the bench. A freshman in college. So I played all the time. Nice thing that happened for me. Good teams, good coaches, whatever. Traveling down to Valparaiso, Indiana on a bus. I make the travel team. I'm a freshman, but I'm not starting. First time in my life. It wasn't that fun, you know. Particularly seeing his name above mine on the depth chart, you know.
Sure.
So we're up 28-0. We're in the third quarter, and my coach taps me on the shoulder pads and get ready to go in. I mean, I was so thrilled. I had dry mouth. I probably was spitting air. I mean, there's no saliva. You're just nervous. Well, defense stopped him. They got a shutout going, right? And they punt the ball. We were talking my first game, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So they punt the ball. It goes over the returner's head. He didn't catch it. It keeps bouncing. Bouncing, and it stops at the 1 foot line. I have to go 99 yards. The interesting part about going 99 yards, I chose the shortcut, called a quarterback sneak, fell in the end zone, scored a safety for the other team. Horribly embarrassing. Not only did I, you know, score for the other team, which is already a big no-no, but I ruined a shutout. So I walked. His football field's 53 yards wide, plus I'm in the end zone, so I got 50 yards to go. So I probably walked 60, 70 yards. Coach goes, "Don't take your helmet off." "Why?" "You're going back in. You got the worst play of your life out of your system." Hmm. I'm like, "What?" I wanted to walk home without the equipment, have my parents meet me at the interstate and just be done, you know? And he just wouldn't go let me. He saw the promise,
yes,
not the mistake.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And that's what coaching up does, is saying, "I'm not going to define you by that mistake. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, can we learn from that? And mm-hmm. I see a lot of potential that I want to lead you up to that potential, not push you down because you made a mistake."
It is hard for people to be vulnerable, leaders or staff, you know. Yep. But if we're worried about making a mistake as if we'll never get back in the game, then we as leaders have created a bad locker room, a bad huddle, a bad sideline, right? Yep. And we know what's going to happen. Even if it's maybe careless on purpose, like, "I just didn't do my best." Okay, that's kind of a committed error, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes you just make a mistake and you're like, "Okay, I learned from it." And to punish the person in front of others, I think, is what I've learned, particularly with kids. Like, you know, let's walk outside. You're acting up in the restaurant.
Right, yeah.
You know, versus, "Hey, quit throwing your French fries." And the kid goes, "Okay.
Yeah.
I never want to go out with you guys again."
Right.
You
know?
And I think those are our chances to, and I like the word up.
Yes.
Versus coach at, like talk at them.
Right. Or talk down to them. Down.
Yeah. It just, there's just no hope in there. You know, you're going to send me back in? Yeah. Don't take your helmet off. I think that is a fantastic line for leaders, and you're using football as an analogy, but that's not a bad line. Someone makes a mistake, it comes out in a report, they lost a client because they made a mistake or didn't call back or whatever. All right, keep your helmet on.
Right.
I think that's a great line. Yep. Just let's keep your helmet on.
You're back in, right?
I don't know. It's encouraging to people. I know we all learn different. And that's the tough part about leaders, right? Like, how do we develop other people? But that kind of is the fun part. Then no one leadership opportunity is the same.
Yes. Right.
Like some like words, some like observation. Some will just try it themselves and come back, "Well, that didn't work. All right, what else did you learn?" You know,
right.
I love what that coach did on that IG video was, "So what did you see?" Because that helps the coach.
Right.
"Well, coach, I just panicked."
Right.
"Oh, so you just saw a bunch of movement and I just panicked, threw the ball." "Oh, what are you gonna do next time?" "Well, maybe slow it down. Maybe look for an outlet, you know."
Right.
All those are good strategies. Yep. And I think that's part of what leadership is giving strategies of maybe to reduce the chance of that mistake.
Right. Right. Well, so I've worked a lot of times with young people, middle schoolers. And so sometimes, you know, you'll say to them, you did this. What was the alternative that you thought about doing?" "I didn't think about an alternative." "Oh, okay. So you were just, that was the first thing that came to your mind." Okay, so I want to give you something else to think about then. Now that I know that, I've asked you, okay. So I've been working for the last few months with a group of guys. Our school counselor picked them out on purpose, because these are young men that if they don't get some positive male role model in their life, they're going to end up in some bad places later on. And so the group is called Guys with Ties. Right. And we all tie our ties. We all wear our ties to the meeting. Shake hands with them. Not a fist bump, not a high five. We shake hands when they come in the meeting. And I talked to them about the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. And I said, thermometer is passive. It just tells you what the temperature is, doesn't change anything. That thermostat knows when to go click and change the temperature in the room. So what I challenged these young men to do, I said, when you're in the classroom, you know what the expectation is. You know what your teacher wants you to do. And if you feel the temperature is not in the right spot, click. You got to click and change it. Well, just a couple weeks ago, I happened to be subbing in one of the classrooms, and one of my young men, his name's Jordan, was in that room, one of my guys with ties. And the room was starting to get a little heated up, and Jordan was sitting right in the front of the room, and he's a little bit of an instigator. As I walked past him, I stopped and I leaned down right next to his ear and I go, "Jordan, click." And then I just walked away.
Great.
And I saw him go. And then he said to the group he's with, "Come on, guys, let's get focused on this thing." And when he got the three or four guys that were working with him, when they sat down and pulled out their pencil, by this time I'm in the back of the room, and I just watch the whole rest of the room follow his example. But he didn't have another way to respond before. And that's what part of coaching up is saying to them, not just saying, "You know, you are so dumb for missing this. What's your problem? Why can't you?" I don't know what else to do. Okay, so that's why you ask the question, "Well, what did you see there? Mm-hmm. Why did you respond that way? Would you be interested in learning another way of responding?" And those are all coaching up, saying, right, there is more potential in you than maybe you even see in yourself, but I see it, and I want to give you a way to be able to bring it out.
I have a quote that is really fits what you just did. "A good coach can change the game, can change the outcome. A great coach can change a life."
Yes.
So the game was getting this middle school group to kind of calm down to get to their curriculum, right? You have an assignment. You're the teacher. But the click was that tool that he never had. The interesting thing is you didn't have to say anything more than a click.
Yep.
Because he thought that was pretty nifty.
Yeah.
You know, and as leaders, I think that's what we have to do. When someone makes a mistake or comes in to tell us they made a mistake, or you hear they made a mistake, the first coach that I coached with would say, "What were you thinking?" And that wasn't coach him up.
No.
That was a question, almost accusatory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus, "What did you see? And what are some other options now?"
Right.
"That you've got a chance to process this."
Yep.
"Oh," and then it's no big deal. But if you say, "What were you thinking?" The person's like, "I'm thinking of nothing right now because I just want to go to the bench and drink a water, get away from you because you're yelling at me."
Right.
And I think that's the example of the guys with ties, is that little, you coach them to do it themselves within the confines of a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Would they do it on the bus? I don't know. But the click or keep your helmet on,
yep,
I think those are those things to encourage, like, "You got this. I'm walking away."
Yeah.
"Teacher, what?"
Yep.
"Oh, okay, guys, let's get to the task." You know, and I think when we give them a tool that is something they can use, you know, versus, "Well, why don't you stop and read a book?" "I don't want to read a book. I want to fool around in class."
Right.
But if you want to be a leader in class, you're going to have to click.
Yep.
That's, I love that.
And that's why that kind of stuff takes place out of the spotlight. You know, I couldn't just pull him aside and say, "Hey, Jordan, let's talk about the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat," right there in the middle of the room. No. That wasn't going to happen. Yeah. And that was what you talked about earlier, is the timing. So talk to that leader that, like, they always feel like they need to, right, even in the heat of the battle, they need to pull somebody and say, "Well, I'm going to coach him up right now." Mm-hmm. How do you figure out that this is the right time or this is the wrong time? How do you determine that for your teammates to say, "This is when I need to do it"?
Well, the first one would assume we're spending time with our teammates and we know their differences.
Good, good.
Right? So someone beats themselves up too much, you might have to wait a day. You know, they're going to go home and, you know, cut the grass or, you know, just really get, you know, mad about things. And then they come in just a little more peaceful, a little more poised. Mm-hmm. Other times, I think if you know a person well enough, it might be, you know, "He did it 30 minutes ago. He may not even remember." You know, almost like where a dog has an accident in the house and you know, you bring the dog back 3 days later to the spot they peed. You're like, "That dog don't remember that."
Right.
They moved on.
Right.
You know, that's 3 days of biscuits. You know, we're done. I think that's a big thing from a leader. How to present things. I think doing things with class so that it's not legal.
Yes.
You know, I want to treat you with class here, not legal.
Yep.
I've even said that. We're not doing this for trouble. We're doing this for growth.
Yeah.
Oh, and their demeanor changes. You've had umpteen examples of someone that you had to kind of help them let's get back on track. That's over there. We're not doing that one. But I think with people having just the chance to come back,
yeah,
you know, keep your helmet on, click, and anything else that we can remind them to be. I think spending time and knowing them, and that's not about equality. It's really fair.
Yes.
So fair might be someone who is still horsing around. You might have to raise your voice, or you might say, this is my second time this week I've had to talk to you. Another person who's very shy, doesn't like, you know, attention, or has some things going on, you're going to handle that a little more gingerly.
Right.
And you might even give different advice.
Yeah.
Based on that, you know the people that well.
Right.
And that's hierarchical too. You know, I'd expect a little more from you as the supervisor than the guy that's doing this.
Right.
You know, so you can step up. It's your title.
Right.
You know, and you challenge him to step up, or, you know, by coaching up.
Yes, coaching up. Yeah. Well, I love what you said about getting to know them, because for me, I found that just even in that moment where I want to go, you know, if I just go, just in that moment to take a breath, what I get a chance to ask myself is, okay, I know this person, how do they want to receive correction at this time? Mm-hmm. And it might be, like what you said, I got to wait until tomorrow for this one. Or I might need to say to them, let's take a little walk down the hall, because I want to pick your brain on something, you know. But just in that quick little breath, I know this person.
Yep.
And I know how they respond. I might say, you know what? They're already beating themselves up over this. They know they made a mistake. They're beating themselves up over it. And maybe all they need from me is to just say, like, you know, your phrase earlier, hey, just keep your helmet on.
Yeah, don't take it off.
Right.
You're going back in.
Yeah, we are. Okay, I know that you made a mistake. You know that you made a mistake. And I know that you're going to work hard to fix it on your own. You don't need anything else from me except to just say, you're still in the game.
I think that particular example taught me a leadership lesson I hope I've used for the decades after. Mm-hmm. And one is, the person believed in me even after my mistake.
Yeah.
And I think that's coach him up.
Yep.
Because that IG video really showed the coach said, so what'd you see? Because I trust what you saw. You were there. You were out there. You made a decision. So tell me.
You were closer to the action than I was. Right.
Yeah. Now, it's so easy to be the armchair quarterback say, oh, you shouldn't have dribbled there. You should have, you know, passed here. Well, that's after the fact. Yeah. That's easy.
Everybody can figure that out.
Exactly. That's hindsight 2020 perfection. So, but I think the way he did it was, he respected that person enough to say, what did you see or experience?
Yep.
And let's get a handle on that. Yep. So I think the tick, click, reminder, a new tool, maybe just words that say, keep your helmet on, you're going back out.
Yep.
After that, oh, for sure. Interesting. After that, scored 2 touchdowns and we won 42-2. But the 2 was that little stinger reminder of, all right, don't get too full of yourself, because you just scored in front of thousands of people for their team.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. 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 I think a lot of our teammates already feel that, you know, it may not be thousands of people in the stands, but they're kind of like looking around the office going, everybody knows what I just did.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't need to say to them, do you know what you just did? Of course they know what they did. You know, that's not helping anything. That's pushing them down. It's not coaching them up.
I think coaching them up might eliminate HR problems.
Mm.
As a leader, that's just a little cheat for you. But if we coach them up, there's no way they're going to come back and say, you didn't talk to me well. You didn't give me chances. You didn't give me tools. You flew off the handle and fired me after one mistake. I think it eliminates liability. I think it creates a HR culture that's more forgiving, you know, from the click or the keep your helmet on, where you're going back out or you're going to leave the next meeting. I don't know. I said some bad things. That meeting was really bad for me. Well, there's no one else running the meeting. You're going to run it.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we love not just coaching. We love coaching up. That's one of the things that we love doing, is being able to see in you maybe even more potential than you see for yourself. So please go to maximizeleadership.com. Check out the page on coaching. You can fill in the form there. It's sort of a free form to fill in however you want to. Give us your contact info, but then just talk a little bit about, this is where I'm struggling, or this is where I want to get better in my leadership. We're going to read through that. We'll come up with a plan, and we'd love to be able to coach you up to the next level, because we really do believe that you've got greater potential than maybe you even see for yourself. If you got ideas for other topics you'd like us to discuss, maximizeleadership.com. You can leave a comment there. You can go to Maximize Podcast on Twitter. You can leave a comment right below here on this video. We check all of those things, and we love getting that feedback from you so that we can bring you the best content that is going to help you go where you need to go. So stay tuned, because there's lots more still to come your way.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.